Today on the Trent Out Loud podcast.
Okay, this is complete garbage. Drake has a rich baby daddy, Lucian, and Universal. Like, duh. This is stupid for Kanye to say. What up? It's your boy Trent Out Loud, and I'm back with another episode. All right, it's Tuesday morning. We made it through Monday, y'all. It was rough. But yo, we made it through. We are here. All right. I got a good show set up for you guys today. Yo, the entire music industry is beefing. I swear that like the promo rollout for you to put out a song these days is you got to be beefing with somebody. Even Taylor Swift was beefing at somebody. Anyways, our two lead stories today. First one is Chris Brown and Quavo beef. And then our second lead story is Kanye West going at Drake again and Cole. So we got a follow-up to actually yesterday's podcast. Then we're going to jump into quick news. We're going to talk about John Legend and then a woman bringing her dead uncle to the bank. Then we got speed news. We got more Kanye, Jennifer Hudson, Beyonce, and the inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Then we're going to close out the show with question of the day and sports news. Lakers got upset by the Denver Nuggets. You know I'm excited about LeBron losing. You know we got to talk about that. And the New York Knicks also beat the Philadelphia 76ers. You know we got to talk about that. Also, Ryan Garcia bet on himself and won $10 million. Stay tuned. I'm telling you, I got a good show set up for you guys. Y'all know what time it is. Turn your TVs, radios, or devices up. I'm about to start this show. Let's go. Quavo drops a diss track responding to Chris Brown. All right, let's just jump into it. I'll read you a little bit of the story. Quavo had a lot to say in his response to Chris Brown. The song included several celebrity name drops, including Rihanna, Tiana Taylor, Sweetie, and more. Quavo even included a verse from Takeoff. I have a little snippet. I wish I could play more of it for you guys, but I have a little snippet. Here it is.
You been your bag up when you punch Ri in the face. Cause ran in your house, tied up your aunt cause you ain't pay. Cause you tried to beat up Tiana, but Usher wouldn't let you do it.
People ran in your crib and taped your aunt up. You wanted to go at Tiana, but then Usher wouldn't let you. Like, yo, for those of you who want to hear the whole thing, I'm going to post it on my Instagram page. Just go to my Instagram, at Trent Out Loud, or on the YouTube channel to see actually there's no visuals for it. He went in. Now, yesterday, I alluded to the Chris Brown and Quavo back and forth a little bit, but I was like, look, we all got to just concentrate on Drake and Kendrick. But today, I had to make it my lead story because, like, Chris's track to Quavo was like, I don't know, let's say, the things that he said going at Quavo were like a 7 on 10. It was like, all right, a little disrespectful. He was saying a few things, but Quavo's track is just like the things that he's saying is crazy. So everybody's like going crazy on the internet about it. Everyone's talking. And he's really like, on terms of diss track level, this is like Tupac going at Biggie when Tupac said that he was going to sleep, that he slept with Biggie's wife. Like the level of disrespect is just crazy, the things that he's saying. Unfortunately, for Quavo, like, this song isn't that great. Like, his flow, the beat, like, the actual song from a technical music standpoint is horrible. But just, like, it's the things that he's saying. Where Chris's track to Quavo, like, his delivery, his flow, the everything was a 10 on 10. You know, so anyways, this beef has now entered the chat. I wouldn't say it's Drake or Kendrick level, but it's definitely up there to be part of the conversation. So I made a mistake yesterday by, I wouldn't say like disqualifying them, but not giving it the attention that it deserves. So yo, shout out to Chris and Quavo. You guys have definitely solidified that you have entered yourself into the beef realm. But like I said, when I opened the show, like, yo, is this what it's going to take now for you to launch an album or for you to have a relevant track? Like, if you look in the past 4 or 5 months, like Nicki and Megan Thee Stallion back and forth with each other, both had albums coming out. Lotto and Ice Spice. Even Coi Leray had, I think, beef with Lotto. Like, the women are beefing back and forth. Was Sexy Red beefing with somebody? I'm sure, like, the girls are beefing. The guys are beefing with each other. Like, I feel like it's part of the promo. Like, it's like, okay, you're going to hit this radio station. We're going to put out this single. We're going to go to this. We're going to go to these festivals. And, like, the last line is, who are we going to beef with so that we can get on the blogs? Like, it's crazy. Like, you can't put out music nowadays without, you know, picking somebody to beef with. So anyways, that's that. I guess it's good for music in general. Last year, they were saying that hip hop sales were low down and country and all this was taken over. This is definitely putting hip hop and R&B back into the conversation, and it is getting people going. So maybe that's what it's about. But like what I said yesterday, the reason why I think the Kendrick and the Drake beef is so much more important is that we are getting good quality music. And that's what I don't like. Obviously, I've been talking about the Drake and Kendrick beef for, I don't know, the past week and a half, but we're getting good music. Future and Metro like that, and Kendrick Lamar like that. That was a good track. You know what I mean? Their version two We Don't Trust You Anymore. I heard Metro has a lot of great production. Drake's tracks have been really good. You know what I'm saying? Like, Push Up was really good. The track Taylor Made that he put out with the AI Tupac and Snoop Dogg Tupac, while some people didn't like that he was channeling, you know, dead people, leave Tupac out of this, I still haven't heard anybody saying the track itself wasn't good. Like, the music we're getting is good. And that's what makes great beef, great beef. Sorry, I know I'm a little bit long-winded going into this, but you know, I love music and I love when things are done properly. So I don't mind there being a beef, and I understand that it's getting people talking, but you gotta couple that with great music. And that's why I think probably for the rest of the year, the Drake and Kendrick beef is going to be the top and the thing that we're going to be talking about, like Joe Budden said, probably into the summer, because they're giving you good quality music. Drake's music is great. Kendrick's music is great, although he's yet to reply. Kendrick, yo, you're on the clock. But yeah, that's it. So just wanted to give props to Chris and Quavo. Quavo, step up, put out better music. Another thing that I forgot about, Quavo actually put out some artwork to his diss track. What is the name? Is there a name to the track? I don't even know if there's a title to it. But anyways, Quavo put out some artwork to it. And it says, damn, Quavo really flipped this picture cover art. I'll put it up on my Instagram and YouTube. And it's Chris Brown outside of what looks like a house or an apartment. And he's like choking a girl. And there's another girl trying to grab the girl off. And Quavo did artwork where Quavo is choking Chris Brown. But I want to know who the girl is that's in this picture. I read a little bit into it, and apparently the picture is real. It's not doctored. It's not A. It's not fake. And apparently the reason why Chris didn't get in trouble for it is that he said they were just playing around. So you can look at the picture and see that he's choking somebody, but apparently they were just play fighting. A lot of people in the comments were like, this does not look like play fighting. But, you know, from what I know, the only case that Chris Brown has is from Rihanna. So I say that to say, if anybody has any information about this picture, please email me. I'll talk about it tomorrow. Please email me, trendoutloud@cfqr600.com, or comment underneath this YouTube video or any of my my social handles. I really want to know who is in this picture and if anything has come of it. And lastly, on this topic, Chris Brown has replied in his Instagram stories to Quavo's diss track, and he says, Google Raps, that ish is poo. Damn, I was excited. That ish doesn't even deserve a response. Takeoff Raps is better. Oh, by the way, Quavo put a verse from Takeoff in there. I think it's never been heard, Takeoff verse. So Chris is saying, like, damn, he was excited and he doesn't even want to reply because the song sucks so badly. I don't know if this means it's going to end. Chris seems like he is excited and probably will come back, but this might be the end of the beef. I don't know. In your emails or your comments, let me know what you think about this beef, and should Chris reply, and what do you think about Quavo's answer? All right, in our second lead story, okay, there's a lot to unpack here. Kanye West was on Justin LaBoy's podcast, The Download. Justin LaBoy's his boy, by the way, like that's his homie. Anyways, Kanye West was on that podcast and he said a lot of stuff. I'll try to unpack and run down as much as I can. But one of the biggest things that Kanye West said is that Kanye said Drake has a rich baby daddy named Lucian and Universal. He's like, my baby daddy control my spins and my baby daddy controls the DSPs. Okay, I have a little a clip of it. I'll play it for you. Here it is.
Drake has a rich baby daddy named Lucian and Universal. Wow. My daddy controlled the spins. My daddy got the DSPs. My daddy, Drake wow. has a rich baby daddy named Lucian.
Okay, this is complete garbage. You guys know, like, I'm always trying to break down Kanye's moves and not justify them, but explain it to you guys. And, you know, I always try to give him credit for coming back. This, like I said about him even entering the conversation and dissing Drake on Like That Remix, I said, I think, two podcasts ago, that was a stupid move. And this comment is just stupid. Like, Drake has a rich baby daddy, Lucian and Universal. Like, duh. Like, it's like, Drake is signed to Universal. Drake is the biggest artist in the world. From the creation of the music industry, there's been people at the record labels pulling strings at the radio. If you guys want, Google Payola. Like, it was like, the record label will go to the radio station, pay the DJ, pay the programmer. Yo, can you make sure you spin Michael Jackson's record more than Prince? Prince is big. Like, this is how the music industry works, bro. Like, and any industry, in the movie industry, like when a big grossing movie comes out, it's like, this is stupid. You know what I mean? Like, every artist has a push from the record label. And the bigger the artist, the bigger the investment of the record label, the more the record label is going to go to DSPs, digital streaming platforms like Spotify and Tidal and wherever you download your music. And they're going to be like, yo, can you push Drake? Could you put him at number one? Could you put him on your homepage? Like, this is stupid for Kanye to say. And this is just more indication and more proof that these guys are just jealous. Kanye is jealous because he messed himself up with, he doesn't have a record label anymore. He's independent and he doesn't have anybody pushing for him. Cause once upon a time, Kanye had the backing of Universal. Remember when Kanye and 50 Cent were going neck and neck and they had a battle with when their albums came out and Kanye ended up selling 900,000 units and 50 sold like 650 and he beat the weak war. Really, the war was won by Universal because they were both Universal artists. And Kanye West knows that and he's just mad that he doesn't have that backing, he doesn't have that push. And that's why everybody in the industry is mad at Drake, because Drake is the golden child. And I think also what hurts him is that he's not, you know, he's not from LA, he's not from New York, he's not your typical guy, you know what I mean? And he's Drake, he's not a hood street rapper, and they're just sick of it. And this is just further proof. Okay, so that's one thing that he said that was stupid. He also said this about, hold on, he said this, oh, he also said about something about Drake. Anyways, just take a listen.
It cuts Drake's soul. It's like he signed a soul to the devil to not be cool with me. This is his job, to go against God.
By the way, when he says God, he's referring to himself because he thinks he's God. So he's like, Drake just loves going against God. And yo, like, for sure, Drake loves to battle people. And if you cross him, he definitely wants to mess around with you, drop subliminals in his lyrics and stuff, 100%. But yo, Drake's a good dude. You all know that. People always say that he's actually even too soft. When Drake came with Kanye to do that Larry Hoover thing in LA with him and Kanye came together, it was on Amazon. Drake was more than happy to put his beef with Kanye West aside and go on that stage with him. It's always Kanye antagonizing Drake. So that is another thing that he said was ridiculous. And then the last thing I'm going to play for you, he asked him about J. Cole, and this is what Kanye said. So Justin LaBoy asked Kanye about J. Cole apologizing. This is what he said.
J. Cole apologized to Kendrick.
Fuck all that shit.
Oh, shit.
Like, nigga, J. Cole went on tour with Drake. You know what it is. It's like, nigga, you can't run now. It's you also.
See what he said? He didn't have any other issue with J. Cole other than, yo, you're on tour with him, so that means you got to get it too. What? Like, this is crazy. I think maybe also there's a little bit that J. Cole is Jay-Z's artist, although he's not on Roc Nation anymore. I think that probably has a little bit to do with it. But again, it's just Cole getting smoked because he just came off a tour with Drake. It's just Kanye just trying to beat down everything that Drake does. Anyways, that was it. Let me see if I have anything else about Kanye about that interview. I think that was really it. That's just Kanye trying to hit on Drake, try to bring him down, try to jump in with everybody else on Drake to try to ruin him. I just explained to you guys why. Drake, if you hear this, if anybody sends this to Drake, if you catch, bro, don't get caught up in Kanye. Don't get caught up in Rick Ross. I like that Drake hasn't put anything in his stories. Sure, last week it was funny with the Rick Ross, whatever. Yo, if I was Drake, I would stay quiet off of the Instagram and stories. Don't pay attention to Kanye. Nobody cares about Kanye saying, yo, wait for Kendrick to drop. And if you were going to do anything else, drop another good track. I was listening to The Breakfast Club, and Charlamagne thinks that if Kendrick doesn't reply like this week or next week, that Drake is going to put out like a hit song that has like some beats, that has some disses in there. That's what I think Drake should do. Don't listen to Kanye. Don't listen to anything else. Don't get wrapped up to anything. We're waiting for Drake and Kanye, and nobody cares. Sorry, we're waiting for Drake and J. Cole, and nobody cares about nothing else. We want Drake and Drake and Kendrick. Maybe I'm still a little bit sleepy from yesterday. Anyways, shout out to the boy Drizzy. All right, this brings us to quick news. Ring my bell. John Legend shares his thoughts on Donald Trump as he advocates for pretrial freedom. He is at his core truly a racist. Okay, that's some big words. I'll let you hear it from John's mouth himself. Take a listen.
When we protested the killing of George Floyd, he was advocating for the military to shoot us in the streets. He's made it clear that he believes black people are inferior. Mm-hmm. Like he believes that to his core. He wouldn't let us live in his buildings. In his the core of his being, he's a racist. I don't want to hear what he has to say about what he's done for black people. He's done very little for us.
Wow. John went in. It's like almost like a 2-minute video. Like I said, go to my Instagram page. I'll play the full clip up there. I'll post the full clip. But listen, people have been saying this about Donald Trump for years. The Central Park Five, like John mentioned, you know, what George Floyd protests, he wanted people shot in the streets. He didn't want to let people in his black people live in his apartment building. People do say, though, that Donald Trump, to talk about both sides and be fair, that, you know, he signed the First Step Act. He did do a lot of things for HBCUs and so forth. But I don't know if this is going to bring back up the conversation, because there's a lot of black people. There's a lot of minorities, black and brown, that are supporting Trump in 2024. So is this going to kind of bring back up the conversation? And John has a lot of points that he's making. I don't know. You guys tell me. I'll read you a little bit of the story. While speaking with MSNBC, Jen Paxi, sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong. While speaking with Jen Paxi about his work when it comes to criminal justice reform and why he advocates for pretrial freedom, John Legend was asked his thoughts about those who called Donald Trump an ally for the cause after passing the First Step Act in 2018. John made it clear why he doesn't see Trump as an ally while listing reasons why he believes he is a racist. Whew. Anyways, like I said, some people feel like there's some legislation that Donald Trump did. Apparently, to John Legend, it's not enough. You guys decide. All right, in our second quick story, and this has a trigger warning beside it. A woman arrested in Brazil for bringing her dead uncle into a bank and takes out a loan for $3,000, told his lifeless body, "You need to sign." Okay, this is a weird one, but it's all over the internet, so I have to tell you guys about it. I have a little video. It's blurred out, so don't worry. You can go to my Instagram page and take a look at it, or you could see it on YouTube. The complete thing on my Instagram page, half of it on YouTube. It's blurred out. But even through the blur, you could see the man in the wheelchair and like, yo, this guy is dead. He's not alive. And she brings him in the bank to try to sign a loan. Like, I just don't understand. I'll read you the story and then I'll play a little bit of the video for you guys. A Brazilian woman, Erika de Souza, was arrested for taking her 68-year-old uncle, dead uncle, into a bank to sign for a loan. According to the bank, the $3,000 loan had already been approved. The documents just needed to be signed by the man. A bank teller started recording Erica once she realized something wasn't right. In the footage, like I said, which I'm going to play soon, Erica pleads with her dead uncle to sign the paperwork. She said, "Uncle, are you listening? Sign it so you don't give me any more headaches having to go to the registrar's office. I can't take it anymore." Just to be clear, she's saying this to a dead person. She said that the story says the teller said multiple times that the man didn't look well and eventually called an ambulance. Once the paramedics arrived, they examined the man and concluded that he had been dead for hours prior to arriving to the bank. Such a weird story. Now, there's two things. Either this woman is delusional and she's crazy because she's talking to a dead person, telling them to sign, or she's obviously just trying to scam. But the part where I don't understand the scam is, okay, he's obviously not alive, right? So if she's there and she's talking to the guy, how is she going to get, talking to the teller, I don't know if it's a man or a woman, but how is she going to get her dead uncle's arm up to sign in front of everybody? It's not like his back was turned and then she get like if this was a hustle, how did she expect to pull the hustle off? And are you going to do something like this for $3,000? Like, it's not like it's like $10, $20 million. And okay, you know, she's trying something, but it's like, do you think that she was actually trying to scam $3,000 by pulling her dead uncle up to the teller? And if we know that he needed to sign, how would she have ever got to get him to sign? Like, you can't hold up the guy's hand, and in banks, there's cameras and everything. So I think the lady is just crazy. People are saying that it's a hustle for $3,000. And if it is, then that's just disgusting. But anyways, I will put the video up, like I said, on my Instagram at Trend Out Loud or my YouTube so you guys could see it for yourself. But people are crazy out there. All right, this brings us to speed news. Ring my bell. Kanye West's Like That remix removed from YouTube. All right, I should have probably put this up a little bit earlier, but in the Kanye conversation. But yeah, so Kanye's Like That remix the Like That was on Metro Boomin and Metro Boomin and Future's Volume 2, We Still Don't Trust You. But if it was put on YouTube and it's taken down, if it's an official remix, then why is YouTube taking it down? Like, so it's making me think. And in the Justin interview, he said Future called him into the studio. Was he lying? Because if this was put out by Future and Metro, why is it being taken down? Like, hold on, let me check DSP, let me check Tidal, and let me see if the remix is on the official album. Hold on 1 second. All right, exactly what I thought. It's not on Tidal. Hold on, let me actually check. Spotify just for fun of it. Hold on. Okay, so it is on Spotify, but it's not under anyone's specific account. This is super weird. If you type in Like That remix with Kanye, it shows up, but it doesn't show up even under Kanye West's account. Super weird. It's just like random people. Maybe random people could upload stuff on Spotify. Anyways, I don't know if this is official or not, but it's all further proof that Drake should not even respond to this. Don't even take up. This is just bait. Don't pick up the bait, Drake. Just stay away from Kanye. Stay focused on Kendrick. You win this Kendrick battle and you are goated, my friend. Goated. All right, in our second speed story, this is actually very motivational. I put this in to give you guys a little bit motivation on Tuesday. See how much I want the weekend to be here. Jennifer Hudson reflects on the 20th anniversary of her elimination from American Idol. Jennifer says, "Keep the faith, keep believing, and keep going." So if you guys remember, first of all, I can't believe that American Idol was 20 years ago. This is crazy. But Jennifer Hudson, well, this was actually yesterday, so April the 22nd. On this day in 2004, I was eliminated from American Idol, but God turned it around for my good. From American Idol to EGOT, which EGOT, for those who don't know, means she won an Emmy, Golden Globe, an Oscar, and a Tony Award. EGOT, baby. I think it's only like maybe 10 or 13 people in the world who has won all four. And she says, 20 years later and now back on TV with my own show. Never give up on your dreams. If I can do it, so can you. If it's not worth working hard for, it's not worth it at all. Remember, nobody knows your potential the way you do. Just keep the faith, keep believing, and keep going. So shout out to Jennifer. I remember when she actually got cut and everyone was like, oh my gosh, she's the best. How could you cut her? That was a year Fantasia was actually on too. Shout out to American Idol. I remember like loving that show back in the day. Anyways, here's a small little clip of when she got booted off.
The person going tonight in a previous show had the highest number of votes, but tonight they have the lowest number of votes. And that person is Jennifer Hudson.
Kicked off of a TV show, and now she has her own TV show. Shout out to Jennifer Hudson. All right, in our third speed story, Beyonce shows off her natural hair during her wash day. All right, this is for my ladies out there. You guys probably like, yo, why is Trent talking about Beyonce's hair? Yo, like I always say, man, I have girls, female and male, and I try to walk the balance. But it is stories like this that I wish I had a female co-host to talk about. But everybody is always getting on Beyonce for wearing wigs and never showing her natural hair. Beyonce, I mean, this is the first time I've ever seen Beyonce in her natural hair too, or actually revealed as her natural hair. Everyone's always getting her on about her wigs. But I think this more has to do with like her hair care product that she just released a couple of months ago, or maybe it was late last year. Anyways, here is a video about Beyonce talking about her hair and her wigs. Take a listen.
The stigma and misconception is that people that wear wigs don't have long and healthy hair. That's some bullshit because it ain't nobody business.
I will say in the video, again, which I'll post up on my Instagram and my YouTube page, Beyonce's hair looks nice. Like, if you have hair like that, Beyonce, why are you wearing wigs? I don't understand. Her hair is, like, long, flowing, looks very... has a lot of volume. People are saying in the comment section, it's not all her real hair. She has a little bit of extensions, but even if she has a little bit, like that's a lot of hair. Like, I don't understand, but like I said, I'm not a girl, so I don't know. Maybe even if you do have a lot of hair, it may be easier to wear a wig. I don't know. Like I said, I wish I had a girl co-host for topics like this, but shout out to Beyonce. Y'all know I'm in the beehive. So shout out to Queen Bee. All right, in our fourth and final speed story, congratulations to Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dionne Warwick, and Ozzy Osbourne inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2024. There are actually more on this list, so congratulations needs to be extended to, I'm going to start from the top. So Mary J. Blige, like they said before, Jimmy Buffett, Cher, David Matthews Band. I know that band. That's actually a dope band. Foreigner, who I don't know. Peter Frampton, I don't know. Kool & the Gang. Y'all remember Kool & the Gang? That's back in the day, yo. Before my time, but I still know Kool & the Gang. Shout out to them. Alexis Kroner. Don't know who that is. John Mayhall. MC5. Ozzy Osbourne. Susan the Past. Big Mama Thornton. A Tribe Called Quest. What? Shout out to Tribe Called Quest, Dionne Warwick, and Norm Hatfield. So those are the new inductees to the 2024 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Like Charlamagne was saying, I was watching him yesterday's show. Shout out to the Brussels Club. You guys know I watch him every day. Like, we need to change it from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to just being like the Music Hall of Fame. Because Tribe Called Quest is not rock and roll. Mary J. Blige is not rock and roll. And it's put out, like, even the story. No, I don't have a clip of the story, but it's like, this is one of music's highest awards. Like, okay, this, it's the Music Award, a Music Hall of Fame, not rock and roll. But anyways, shout out to the inductees. All right, this brings us to question of the day. What's the most surprising plot twist you've ever seen in a movie or a TV show? So just fair warning, a little bit of spoiler alerts because we're going to talk about plot twists, but most of these things that you have heard. Brittany _1107 wrote Sixth Sense, Bruce Willis being a ghost. So good. That was so good. Sixth Sense was a really good movie. Sean D. Coates said, when the guy from The Apprentice became POTUS. Wow, yo, that's dope. That took me a while to sink in. That's actually pretty dope. Yeah, Donald Trump, the apprentice, on a TV show, and then he ended up being the president of the United States. Okay, you already won. This guy won. Sean D. Coates won. The first saw when Jigsaw got up off the bathroom floor and acted like he wasn't dead. After acting like he was dead the entire movie, I don't remember. I remember Saw being so good. One of the only kind of horror movies I liked. But he got up off the floor after acting like he was dead. I don't remember, but I think I remember a little bit. But yeah, good plot twist. Good movie regardless. Somebody wrote The Book of Eli. Denzel was blind the whole time. I tried to watch that movie and I didn't finish it for some reason. I think I just fell asleep. Somebody wrote Behind Her Eye. Never seen that movie. Somebody wrote The Unusual Suspects. I'll hold that till the end. Somebody said The Others with Nicole Kidman. Never seen that. Shutter Island. Leonardo played us all. Never seen that, but I hope most of you know out there. It's Your Girl Kia wrote Seven with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, all-time classic. Why am I forgetting so many of these things? I know I've seen Seven, but I don't remember the plot twist. But anyways, shout out to Seven. Gone Girl with Ben Affleck. I know I've seen that too. Forgot. Somebody said The Orphan, The Black Mirror, Skeleton Key. Trillion 187 wrote, when Drake found out that all 20 of his rap friends secretly hates him. That's hilarious. Somebody said, shout out to Insecure. Somebody said, when Issa and Lawrence mended the relationship and were back on track to live a good life, and then Cordella calls with the news that she's pregnant. Shout out to Insecure. Oh, somebody wrote Snowfall. I'm still in shock about Franklin Saint. 1000%. I don't know if that's a real huge plot twist, though. It's like you kind of, you smelt it coming along from about two or three episodes. You went from having 75 million to 30 million to like 10 million. But sure, we didn't believe he's going to end up an alcoholic like crackhead on the street. But all right. So somebody wrote the ending of The Usual Suspect will go down in movie history. Okay. So I'll just end it there. The Unusual Suspect. Oh, no, sorry. Is it Unusual or Usual? Yeah, it's The Usual Suspect. Yo, Kaiser Sose. Yo, I think that is the biggest and the best plot twist ever of all times in a movie. It was so good. I almost don't want to spoil it for anybody out there who wants to see a really good movie. Oh, God, Usual Suspect must be 10, 15 years old by now. But yo, I honestly think that it's really good because to me, like that's what makes a good plot twist is like literally you watch the whole movie and you're in and there's the last 30 seconds totally takes you for a whole loop. Like you got played the whole movie and the movie is good. Like you're like, okay, this is really good. You know, some movies are like boring and then there's a plot twist. No, the movie's a good movie. It goes, you think the movie ends and you're like, wow, okay, that was actually dope. It's a good movie. And then you're like, hold on, what? And then literally the last 30 seconds or the last minute, you're like, no way. Like, and I haven't met anybody who's ever watched that and was like, yeah, I knew what was happening the whole time. So it's super good. Even the fact that I'm telling you that this is happening, and if you watch it and you don't know, you're going to get that blown away, I guarantee you. Anyways, shout out to Usual Suspect. What was his, was it Kevin? Kevin, not Kevin Costner. Can't remember the guy. It was the guy that's in... Oh my gosh. Hold on. I got to Google his name for you. Hold on. Oh, I don't even have to Google. Kevin Spacey. Shout out to Kevin Spacey. If you guys haven't seen it, watch The Usual Suspect and then send me an email and let me know what you think of the movie. TrendOutLoud@CFQR600.com. All right. This brings us to sports news. Okay. If you guys remember, if you watched yesterday's episode 232, I was getting on the NBA and the NHL for being boring, right? The first games in the first rounds, all the home teams won. I was like, yo, it was a boring weekend of the playoffs. Happy that the playoffs were here, but it was boring because all the home teams win, all the first, second, third, and fourth place. Yo, let me tell you something. I don't know about the NHL, but the NBA has redeemed itself last night. Let me tell you, Monday night was on point. By the way, that was the first time in NBA and NHL history that all home teams won the first game in the playoffs. So I was right, by the way, just tooting my own horn. But yo, let's talk about last night. I do have a story about Ryan Garcia and winning, and betting and winning $12 million. So stay tuned for that. But I just had to let you guys know about last night for those of you who missed it. And I also have to rejoice that the Lakers are 0-10 against the Denver Nuggets. Let's go. You guys know I'm everything against LeBron. I want him to lose. I want him to get swept. Side note, for those of you who are not loyal followers, I just tease LeBron. Like, I love him as a person, but he is my rival enemy on the court. I'm Jordan all day, GOAT. I want LeBron to retire and only win 4 rings. So it's a little joke, a little inside joke that I have with me and LeBron that LeBron doesn't even know about. Anyways, I digress. Sorry, I'm just excited. Yo, LeBron, what was great? First of all, hold on, let me calm down. The first game, Knicks and Philadelphia was an amazing game. Knicks ended up winning 104-101. Knicks were ahead. They were in the lead. Philly was in the lead. They were ahead. It looks like they were going to win the game. And then I think it was like 25, 30 seconds left. Knicks score. Then Philly goes to inbound. They couldn't find anybody open. Instead of calling a timeout, they forced the pass. The guy... There, people are saying that he got fouled. I don't remember the name of the player. Anyways, he loses it. Then Knicks score another three-pointer. Then they got the Philly gets the ball. They inbound it properly this time. They go down. Knicks end up winning. They scored 8 points in the last like 30 seconds. So Knicks come from behind and win. And then the Lakers game, my game, I literally watched out from tip-off till the end. Lakers were leading, I think, for the whole entire game. I don't think the Nuggets were even winning. Then the fourth quarter, they were like, oh, they were coming back. I think by the end of the third, it was 10-10. And we're like, yo, I'm in my head. I'm like, I can't believe Denver's about to do it again. Yes, I really want them to get swept. And yo, I'm here giving you guys like the play-by-play. Sorry, I'm just excited. But yo, last play, 2 seconds left. Well, 10 seconds left. I think LeBron misses and then Denver ties up the game, and then you think it's going to go over into overtime. Jamal Murray, who has had a horrible shooting day, has the ball. You see Jokic, like, don't rush it, just take it to the last shot. Worst that can happen, if you miss, we go into overtime. It's totally fine. We're a younger team. We could beat them. Jamal Murray, shout out to my Canadian, Jamal Murray. Bam, 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 bam. Yo, Jamal Murray goes mid-range, step back, two-pointer. Like, when I was watching it, it didn't even look like the ball went in the, like, it didn't even look like it touched the net. It was that perfect. It didn't touch the rim. It was like it hit the bottom of the net. Perfect shot. Denver steals the game away from Lakers. Lakers have no more time on the clock, no overtime. I think he scored with like 0.2 seconds left. Like, they couldn't even inbound the ball. It was totally over for the Lakers. Yo, let's go, man. Shout out Denver and shout out Jamal Murray. You guys know I'm not even going for Denver. I don't even want Denver to win. I want Boston or Miami. For the first time in a long time, I'm not even going for anybody in the West Coast. But anyways, I really want the Warriors to win, but we know they're not going to win. Anyways, shout out to Jamal Murray. I have to move on to the Ryan Garcia story because it's a great story, but I had to just throw that in there. The NBA has redeemed itself. They're exciting again. All right, so let me go into this Ryan Garcia story and close out the show because I'm already running low on time a little bit. Ryan Garcia reportedly bet $2 million on himself to defeat Devin Haney, and he was paid out $12 million. So when I first got this story, it was speculated. Like I said, it was reported. Then I got a confirmation. It's actually on SportsCenter, and it says Ryan Garcia bet on himself against Devin Haney. So it has been confirmed. Not only did he win a purse, I think it was like $20 or $30 million. He won an extra $10 million betting on himself. Here were some responses from people. Somebody wrote, so wait, Ryan Garcia spent months before this boxing match pretending to be drunk and high every day so that the odds of him winning would be low. Then he bet $2 million on himself to win, wins the fight, and earns $12 million on his bet. In addition to his fight money, Ryan Garcia is genius. Yo, I got to shout out Charlamagne. Shout out to Breakfast Club once again. I think it was Friday when Oscar De La Hoya was on the Breakfast Club. And Envy, DJ Envy, saw Ryan Garcia out in New York Thursday night. Okay, so this was two nights before the fight. And Envy was like, yo, I saw him in a restaurant. He was drunk, whatever. And Charlamagne was like, don't believe that, man. I think he was actually really drunk before the fight. Yo, that's BS. And then De La Hoya was like, yeah, I think he likes to troll or whatever, blah, blah. And then Charlamagne was like, yo, there's no way this guy is going to fight on Thursday and be drunk. And at that time, Charlamagne was like, yo, I don't know why, but I could guarantee you that a boxer is not out on a Thursday night getting pissed drunk before a fight on Thursday. There's no way that you could perform at that kind of level. But now we see why Ryan was doing this. So I have to shout out Charlamagne. He picked up on it from jump. He was like, yo, he's totally trolling. Not was he just, and I said he's trolling so that he can get more pay-per-view and more sales and more people talking about the fight. Because even De La Hoya said the sales at the Barclays Center weren't doing too good. He said he maybe put the prices of the tickets a little too high. So we are all in the wrong. Everybody was in the wrong except for Char, knowing that it was fake. But he did that so that the odds of him winning would be lowered, and then he bet on himself. Yo, this is genius level moves out here. The last thing is that a lot of other people too are saying in the comments that it's illegal, you can't bet on yourself or whatever, especially for the Toronto Raptor, I forgot his name, that just got banned from the NBA for life because he bet. And obviously it is legal because he could do it. And what I think the reason what's different is that you can't bet, if you're a player, you can't bet on a team to lose because there's 11 other people. So that's why it's illegal for a player that's playing in the NBA. So it's a team sport. This is a one-on-one sport. So you're betting on yourself. The second thing is that the NBA is a league. So the Toronto Raptors guy who got banned for life from the NBA, he didn't have any criminal charges. Yeah, he could bet, but it's the league. Like when you go into the NBA and you sign your contract to get your $1 million payment, you're on the NBA's payroll. So if the NBA says you can't bet, that's what's illegal. It's not betting that's illegal. It's betting within that league. The NHL says you cannot bet. So boxing, first of all, there is no league, but there is an association, the Boxing Association, and in the Boxing Association, it's clearly not illegal to bet on yourself. People are saying it's not legal to bet against yourself. So you cannot go in and say, hey, I think I'm going to lose. Go in and say, hey, I'm going to win. And then you really bet against yourself and then you throw the fight. But how could you throw the win? But then on the other side, it could be where Haney was going to bet that he lost too, and then like it's a little bit of a mix up. But ultimately, it's all about the association you sign to. Betting is legal. It's the Boxing Association, and the Boxing Association allows that. Then Ryan Garcia is in his full right to gamble and bet on himself. So yo, shout out to Ryan. All right, that's it. I'm wrapping up the show. Tuesday is in the bag. Before I go, I got to thank you for kicking it with me. Thank you. Before I go, I got to remind you, for those of you who are listening to this on CFQR600.com or 600 AM in the Montreal area, if you cannot always listen to this show from 11 to 12, please know that you could always go onto my YouTube page or on any podcast platform. Just search Trent Out Loud and you will download and you could watch the Trent Out Loud podcast on demand. It's not only between 11 to 12. And vice versa, for those of you who are checking me out or checking us out, this is a team. If you're checking us out on YouTube or on podcast platforms, please try to check us out every day, weekdays from 11 to 12, Monday to Friday on CFQR600.com. Anywhere in the world, any device, just type in CFQR600.com and you could listen to this podcast with 90s and 2000s hip hop and R&B. We mix in a good show. We play good vibes. It's a good hour right in the middle of your day to get you through your workday and on to the end of your day. Thanks for kicking it with me. I will see y'all tomorrow. Peace. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. It's your boy, Trent Out Loud. Peace.